that so let's put the microphone as well.
Yes.
Put on. So the schedule for our program today, we are going to have 4 hours. The first hour is with you, and we are very grateful for having you here. And it's because we call this class as practical research, and which means that we are going into practicalities both in the quantitative methodological issues, also in many aspects of philosophical issues. But there are some things that we have to go through, and one is literature search. The bibliography. I am a bibliometrician from all time, so I always say bibliometrics and not bibliographics. How we prepare and how we cite, as simple as that. How we prepare our reference list or bibliography, and also how we. I know that the last part is I forgot to send you and some words that could have been of some interest, so that we could check and we could see in real life how we can simulate a real literature search.
How much?
Yeah, exactly. So the key words today is sustainable manufacturing. Yes, it was not difficult. So that we start with that. So that means that we have only 1 hour. It's, if you want to have more than 1 hour, you are more than welcome. We have 4 hours here. And I think I have stuff for the three next hours, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this is very important. And I know that you've seen that some of you, probably all of you, several times, the part of it. The end note, I'm sure that you, how many of you use this end note? I know Andrea and Lucas. Neither do I. So it's very, very convenient for me as well. So, welcome, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hi everyone. better stand here then so the sound reaches the tape. My name is Karen. I'm a university librarian. I usually teach academic writing. Several issues connected with that. But today I'm just going to give you kind of the basics, a few basics even. I've been told that you want to know something about EndNote. I'm not really going to give you a course because that is more suitable for a kind of a computer lab or an office even. So I'm not going to give you a course, but I'm going to tell you where you can download it, what we use it for, what it looks like, and things like that. And I'm going to say something about Harvard style, because you're going to use Harvard style. So I'm going to say a little bit about that. I'm going to show you the portal for academic writing here at NTNU. And then I'm going to give you kind of a few hints on which databases to use, what they look like, you know, kind of like that. Sounds like a plan?
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. So I'll try to start with the portal for academic writing. So it's located, if you go to INSEA, and I've put mine to English. Can you see it up there? It was a little small, maybe. So more like this. there's a button here called Topic. So if you click that, and you'll get Topic for students automatically, but I've had to click that. And under Literature, you'll find Academic Writing as a link. Okay, I'll close this one. And it looks like this. And this is the kind of the portal that you use, the web portal for academic writing here at the university. It's parted into four main parts. And one is defining a research topic, so you can get some help in when you're trying to kind of focus your question and things like that. You have your own kind of part there with finding sources, which is part of what I'm going to talk about later. Then you have something called structuring your text, and this leads you to another part of the university. It's kind of a center for academic writing, and they have some, you know, tips on how to write, how to combine words to get a flow in your text, that kind of thing. And then it's using and citing sources. And this one is the most used one, I can just say. And it's a little difficult to see there. Maybe if I just kind of blow it up a little bit right there. So it says how to cite sources, and there are many different citation styles in use on NTNU. But as far as I know, you're going to use Harvard style, which is very common.
You remember that? We heard about that.
Yeah, the Harvard style, yeah. And on this page, you'll get an introduction to what Harvard style is, what it looks like, which kind of principles that should guide you in there. And there's also a link to a site with lots of examples from different kind of sources. What does it look like when you're citing a book contra, you know, a research paper of some sort? So you can get lots of examples, but I do want to emphasize that it's a good idea to just use 5 minutes to read the main text before you start, because that's where the principles really are. And I know on this page, it's too much text. Really, it is. They're text heavy, and I'm sorry about it, but there's really not much that I can do to change that. In the short run anyway. So you just have to live with it. And I'm sorry, but there it is. Yeah, question.
There used to be a link on the, at least on the Higgs site, and also I believe on the NTNU site, to an actual EndNote Harvard style link.
There isn't really a national Harvard style, but we did have our own kind of, well, our own little Higg style when it was Higg, and now it's NTNU, and you can find it there. So it explains what our version of Harvard looks like.
Yeah, but maybe I was specific enough. There used to be a file for EndNote that you could download for NTNU.
Yeah, it's there.
You sure?
Yeah. It's right here. Reference Manage Tools, and it's on EndNote. If you're going to use EndNote, and it's on there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to say something about, if you're kind of scratching your head now and thinking, what the, you know, I'm going to say something about that. All the information you need, or should need, about Harvard is located there. Now, does everyone know what Harvard does? EndNote does? No, kind of. Yeah.
I refused it.
No. Yeah. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Or yes, as far as I'm using EndNote by now, I'm downloading information about literature.
Yeah.
Downloading it to my EndNote library, where I have basically the bookshelf of all my downloaded files so far.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I'm using when I cite in Word.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plugin for Microsoft Word that you just say insert citation, and then you choose the Harvard style before, and it's just going to put in the citation and the information into your reference list, and put in the link in the readable text.
Exactly. So what it does, EndNote is a software program that you download, and you can download it from this page. If you click EndNote right there, it will lead you to the program farm where you can, you know, harvest all your all your software. So you can go to the download side, it says here, and you download it. And we've bought licenses for all of you. So what you do, you download it, and then you use it when you're writing. Because, let's face it, you're going to write more and more. Hello. You're going to write more and more, and you're going to be using lots more sources now, and more of a variety of sources, not just websites anymore. You know, it's going to be a lot more of it. When I did my master's quite many years ago now, I was starting to get a little bit desperate, you know, because in the end I had like 4 or 5 pages packed with references, And I don't know what I would have done without a reference manager, just simply because otherwise you'll lose track of all of them. So I do really emphasize that. Use EndNote, use another program if that suits you better. But it is a good idea to have a reference manager. Now, what it does is, like the gentleman quite explained here, that it harvests the data from the sources that you're going to use. And it puts all that data into this program. And then you can choose, you know, what how you want to represent that data. And your representation, it's called output style in EndNote, is called Harvard. And that's an author date style. So which means that whenever I'm citing something, you know, whenever I've caught an idea or something that I want to use in my paper, I go to EndNote, I click the source that I want to put in, and then I sort of get the data in. And provided that I've used the right output style, which is at Harvard, then it will put the citation in the text in the correct format and build an input into my bibliography or reference list in the correct format. So it saves me a lot of, you know, issues with I can't remember which part was going to be in italics, whether what's going to be with a big capital letters or whatever. It does that for me. But obviously it doesn't think for me, so I still have to be able to, you know, identify the source that I want to use and put it in the right place in the text and use the correct output style. Does this make sense? Yeah. Yeah?
So there was also a point about importing EndNote references, that they aren't always complete.
No.
So you should always check them manually.
Absolutely. And this is kind of, I want to buy a drink for saying just that, because this is very important, that the data that you have in your EndNote system will, of course, be the same that you get from the various databases or Google Scholar or, you know, wherever you're getting them from. And the quality of the data is not better than you could expect, you know. Even when you're downloading something from a database, you need to check that there are no spelling errors and all, you know, that it really is from that conference or that journal or whatever. So that's a vital point. Does this make sense to you? Yeah, there's a data layer, which is, you know, basically the information that you need, the author, the title, where it's published, and so on. And then you can choose which way it's going to look. That's another layer. And for your part, it will be the Harvard style, and that's the output style. So you have to download the program itself, and then you have to download a little snippet, which is the output style called Harvard. And you'll find that on this page. I think it's, let's see, should be on this page. Sorry? Yes, you have to have a license, but the NTNU has bought that license for you. So as long as you download it from our site, it should be fine. You have to make sure that the license.dat file is in the same folder as the .exe file. Otherwise, it won't understand anything. But if you have problems with downloading the thing, the Oracle is really the place to go, because Oracle will help you to install it if you have any issues with that. Now, I do think that if I go to the Harvard page, you'll see information about Harvard style, and you can see some other styles, and then you can see the examples of it right here. So website will look like this, you know. But I really do suggest that you use some sort of reference manager. Are any of you using LaTeX for writing instead of like Word pages? No? Word or pages for all of you? All right, then EndNote will be just fine. If you use LaTeX, then you really should use BibTeX or BibLaTeX to support you. But I couldn't now find the... I think I have to look that up again, because it should be right here, actually. It should be... The output style should be here. So maybe they've moved it.
No, but it was there.
Yeah, it was there, right?
The page you just sent me to?
Yeah.
All the way on the bottom, I think.
Yeah, they used to have a link right here. But I'll have to look that up. And I can put it into your Blackboard room if I find it somewhere else. But it was there. Oh, no, it's on the Harvard side, right?
To, I'm on the Norwegian page.
Oh, right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's on the Norwegian site.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You know, that was a good tip, because I'm going to change that. So it's on both sides, obviously. Yeah. So as long as you're on the Norwegian side, you could get the... the English output style, that's, you know, I'll fix that. Okay. So, do you want to see it? Do you want to see it now? It looks a little different, perhaps, on my Mac. Well, because I have a Mac, it looks a little different than on a regular PC. But for one more reason, that I haven't updated it to X8 yet. So mine is X7. But it's very similar. Okay, I'll blow this up a little bit. Okay, so another reason that you should really consider using a reference manager is that the more you read, the more sources you collect, and then you put it into the, well, I would call it an archive, but they call it library in this kind of world. You build your own library of sources. And maybe, you know, next year, you're in your first year, right? Yeah, so next year, you'll think, you know, I read something very interesting about this last year. What did I do with the book on the source? You know, I don't know about you, but that will be, you know, gone, long gone. So I put it in here, and then I can easily find it. You can even attach the full text to, let's say you have a journal article or something. You can even, you know, put the full text in so it's stored with the data. And that makes the access much easier. So whenever I'm writing, I can open a Word document. So you can see. So whenever I'm, you know, writing something very interesting here, I can open EndNote. I'll check that it's the correct style. Now, I'm mostly using APA this nowadays, but I can change it right here. It says select output style. And if I change to NTNU Harvard, and I can do that here too. So you change it both in EndNote and in the Word document. So you make sure that there's, you know, this one is the same as in the other. So I go to EndNote, I choose something, and then I do insert citation. If you have a PC, you can use F2 to put it in. I think it's Command-2 with Mac, but I don't know exactly. So you see what it did? It put a little... You know, maybe enlarge this a little bit so you can actually see it. So you see what it did? It put the authors and the year in the text. And if I had a longer text, this would be at the end. And it does, you know, alphabetize and everything automatically.
We can already see that you're using the Norwegian version.
Yeah, yeah. Because it says S instead of P, you know, for page and everything.
And org instead of and.
Yes, exactly. Org instead of and. So there's a reason why they are two different. So if I was using the... I don't think I've downloaded it, actually, because I only use APA now. If I was using the English version, it would say, you know, Conway Dickey and Wrightford instead of org. and it would say P dot instead of S dot. Yeah.
Do you mean when you install the program?
No, you can download the program, but when you download the output style, it needs to be English. But there are two separate files.
Okay, so I choose which one I...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you can have both. You can have as many as you like, but you need to be able to separate them so that you see that it's the same one in the program and in the Word document, the thing that I just did, you know? Yeah, question?
Yeah, the NTNU Harvard style, like I just downloaded it, is it any different from the standard Harvard style, or is it just for simplicity?
Yes, no, it's a little different, because there really is no standard Harvard style, I'm sorry to say. It's not like APA, which has like this thicker book that describes any, or, you know, every aspect. The Harvard style is more flexible. So almost all institutions who use Harvard have a kind of slight... different ways to handle it, but they're very, very similar. Ours is based on a book called Cite Them Right, which describes the Harvard style. The book itself is also located in the library, so if you need more examples of something, you can use that and say.
So it's basically, if we use NTNU Harvard style, and of course if we make sure that the sources or the data in the sources are correct, then there's nothing to worry about.
It shouldn't be. But, you know...
Like, if I use the normal Harvard style now, or the one that I downloaded, I could be doing something wrong, but to be safe, I should use that.
Yes, because in the kind of the version of the standard Harvard, to call it that, that is installed with EndNote, they use capital letters for all the authors in the bibliography, and that's not how we do it.
Okay.
So, things like that.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And there are slight differences other than to some commas and things like that. But, yeah. All right? Does it sound good? Yeah? I always used to say that this has been determined for you that you're going to use Harvard no matter what. But for some... particularly in the more like informatics and things, they prefer the numbered system and not the author date system. I prefer the author date, to be honest. I like that better. It's just much more easy for me to read. But they prefer the numbered system. And even with a 2-page memo that some of them wrote for me a couple of years ago, there was, you know, missing links and everything. Because I don't know about you, but I can never write a whole paper from start to finish without going back and, you know, correcting things. And then it's very easy to get, you know, stuck with the wrong number because you insert a new source and then you have to manually update all the other sources, which is, you know, you don't need that kind of hassle, you know? So it's very important if you're using numbered styles, then you just have to use a reference manager. But I seriously would, you know, ask you to use some sort of it. There are many different ones. You know, Zotero is open source, so it's free. And there are many others too. But this one is the one that you get support from, you know, from the library. The library can help you with EndNote. But we can't just, you know, know all the systems out there. So we've chosen, you know, EndNote is the one that we buy licenses for, ergo the one that we support. So if you want to use something else, that's fine by me, but you won't have any support for it.
Okay.
Any questions? Yeah?
Would you like to just take one more example, please?
Yeah, sure. So if I'm continuing this very interesting thesis that I'm writing here, blah, 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 you know, and I want to go to EndNote and cite something. I'll use something with a different, this one.
No, because you have already a library.
Yes.
So those of
us... When I'm searching, I'll show you how to export the data.
Yes, please.
Yes. But I just wanted to... Now, see? It placed itself in the correct spot.
Yes.
You see? Yeah. but I've used EndNote for quite a few years, so my library is quite extensive. I do recommend that you call your library something, not just my EndNote library, which is the default. And I do recommend that you keep just one library for everything. If you need to kind of separate something to keep something from another, then you have some smart groups that you can't really see there, but you have like groups up there. So when I'm writing, starting a new article, let's say, I do a new group, and then I put all the kind of, I copy all the references into that group, so I have just the ones that I need. And you just drag and drop, and it makes a copy into the group. They're still searchable from the main library. So just one library, and call it something that you can remember. Let's say your name and EndNote library or something like that. Yeah. Well, questions?
Yeah. One example, and I don't have this script right now, but maybe I will have in the future.
Yep.
I can actually save it now in the library in EndNote.
Sure.
And then retrieve it later.
Yeah.
Can I also attach the actual file?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You just drag and drop it over.
Okay.
It will save the full text.
Yeah.
However, there is one thing. Very, very few like normal websites have export functionality for this. It's more like for the databases and Google Scholar, ISI Web of Knowledge, those kind of things. They have an export functionality, which will bring just the raw data over to EndNote. But when you're using like websites, then you probably have to register them manually. Yeah. Which seems kind of, why am I bothering with this? But then... But then, of course, everything will be in the same place. And if you're using EndNote, you have to use the for everything. So then, I mean, within the same document, obviously. So you can't just, you know, add someone, some of them from the library and just do some manually within the same document. That doesn't work. So if you're in for a penny, yeah. So whenever I come to a website, I just, well, in my Mac, I just use Command N, or you can probably just use Control N, and then put, you know, in a new reference from the ground. But then, of course, you have to decide, you know, who's the author, what's the title, and add everything yourself. Yeah. Okay. More questions?
Yep.
Yeah?
Just a couple of things that come to mind about more like frequently asked questions.
Yeah?
One is how you cite like pictures, charts in library style, and the second one is how you cite when there's no author.
Yeah. So, there are many... There's so many questions about this, and I understand that because it's a little difficult. The first thing you have to ask yourself, do I really want to use a source when I don't know who the author is? That's, you know, a critical idea that you should have. But sometimes an author can be like a corporation.
Or Union, OECD.
Yes, it can be... you know, someone who's in charge of the information. So if you want to cite something, let's say, from the NTNU website, NTNU would be, on most pages, I think you would find NTNU would be the author because there's no personal author. Yeah. There's also a question about what do I do with year if I can't find the publication date, let's say. There we have, you know, no date, the no date option. If you're writing in Norwegian, it will be u.punktum or.punktum, you know, uten år, without year or no date, they call it. So you have to put that manually kind of into the year field in here. So if I can show you, if I open a new one, it will give you this and you have to fill it in from the top, and then I have to choose what kind of information is it. Is it a web page? Then I'll use that. I'll fill in the author, the year and the title, etc. You don't have to fill in every kind of information here, but you have to have like author, year, title, web page, and the date that you cited it.
Okay, I think you go a little bit fast now.
Okay.
A little bit slower, if you can show us once again what you exactly did.
Sure. Well, I did Command N, Control N for you.
Control N.
Yeah. Put in a new reference.
Yes.
And then you put every kind of information that you have. But usually for a website, there's you choose up here, you choose what kind of source it is. So if it's a web page, I know I will need the URL, for instance, which is not really, you know, available if it's a book, a physical book anyway. So you type in the information that you have, like author, year, title, URL, and the date that you looked at it online, and that should be updated as close to the hand-in date as possible. So a couple of days or the day before that you're going to hand in something, you go over every link, click every link, and make sure that it's still there, you know, because sometimes these documents online are pretty, you know, fleeting. And then you update the date cited, I think it says. Yeah, here, as close as you can to the hand-in.
So access, do you have access date, but date cited?
I think it's date cited, but you can look it up. I'm always a little confused, to be honest. Yeah. So I usually just put it in both places to see what happens, yeah.
I think the Harvard asks for the date of access.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
If you just put it in both, it's just going to collect the one anyway.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which is why I haven't been bothered to find it out, to be honest. But you can also see that on the, if you go to this site right here, you can see the Harvard style. And then I think it's under Harvard examples. If you choose website right there, it will see, yeah. Accessed date, you see that right here? And it says in EndNote, it gives you kind of a recipe on what kind of information you need in EndNote. So it says fill out the fields, author, blah blah blah. See? Pretty neat. Yeah. Okay, and then your second question was what we do with graphs and, you know, things like that. First of all, you need to make sure that you have a license to publish that, bless you, because usually you won't have that, you know, license to publish that. So when you're using a book or anything, don't just assume that you can go into the scanner and just scan in some graph or picture that you want to use and then put it into your text. As long as you cite, you'll be safe. That's wrong. So you probably need to contact the publisher and get a license to republish it in your text. Most will give that to you if you say that it's for a paper that you're doing in school. But I think there's actually an example for this. It says image and digital image, and I felt quite sure that it was no standard and report. So if you use, it will be the same as a digital image, I would suppose, you know. Yeah, like here, this one. And you can add it as artwork, if you like, in EndNote. But make sure you have a license for it. Yeah.
Just a pro tip, there are lots of kind of open source sites online that can probably provide you most of what you need.
Yes, and we do have license for something called Colorbox if you need like images, vectorized or not. So you can have that there. And you can look for like a CC license, Creative Commons license, underneath the pictures you want to use if you find something online. I know at least Flickr has some sort of, you know, rights declaration under each picture. So that's, you know, useful. But just make sure that you're not breaching any kind of a law there. Yeah.
What was again? Color box? Like
yeah.
Box?
Yeah. Spelt with a British, you know, U. Color. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And we have a license for that, but you need to come to the library and pick it up because we no longer have any kind of enclosed place to put the code. Now that there's no fronter, I can't find a place that you can just have it there. Because this is just for the students in Jøvik. So the other students don't benefit from that deal that we have with Colorbox.
So that's like a stock photo?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And the pictures in Colorbox are, you know, rights cleared for you. So as long as you say some place on the page, colorbox.com, underneath the picture or something, you're good. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, back to the graphs. Is it legal to make the graph on your own and refer to the original author?
It depends, but usually not.
Okay, so it's basically the same as copying it directly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a creative work or an artwork in itself. So yeah. But I'm just saying how to be safe, you know. I'm not a copyright lawyer, so I don't know all the kind of issues connected with it, but this is just the basics. So better safe than sorry is my kind of mantra when it comes to copyright. Okay, so I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking, is it all right if we move along to some searches and things like that? Or do you have more questions about this? I'd be happy to answer any question after the class if you... Yeah?
I was just thinking about in the EndNote, to the author.
Mm-hmm.
Are you supposed to just write the name as it says in the front page?
It's a very good question. You usually write it with last name first. Like, think James Bond, you know? Bond, comma, James, yeah. And then you hit enter to if you need more than one. Mm-hmm.
I would start with Lily.
Yeah.
And then
comma Paul J or D.
I don't think you have to anymore. I think EndNote does that for you.
I think so too, but I always do just be safe because I have a problem with one of the articles that I'm writing currently. It does something weird with it. If I do it the other way around. So I always just to be safe, I do the last name first. And if you have like a corporation, you need to put a comma at the end so it understands that it is a last name, you know, because otherwise, you know, the Norwegian technology, blah, 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 it will invert it automatically and it will look really strange. So you need to put a comma at the end, you know, Norwegian University for Science and Technology, comma, because then it will be in that order. No. It will usually understand that it's just, you know, end here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just one thing to linking actual to attaching a link to the sources in EndNote.
Mm-hmm.
So just link the document that you got stored on your PC somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and just link the reference.
When you download it, you download the PDF usually, right? And then you can just, you know, open your Finder and just drag it over. It'll make a copy of the full text attached to the data.
Yeah, but if I don't want that, because then it's going to double the data, basically. If I got the data stored in my NTNU folder, wherever, in my
mm-hmm.
Mac, and I just want the link to
yeah.
that folder,
mm-hmm.
that also works, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. Are you getting the gist of EndNote here? I'm not really the best person to keep an EndNote course, to be honest, because I'm not usually teaching EndNote. I'm just kind of supervising it. So If you want like a more from the ground up kind of course, you can contact Julia at the library because she gives like only EndNote courses. So that will be a better option, I think. Yeah? Okay.
Is it possible that in order to ask here, unfortunately, we are fewer than you normally. Are there any of you that would like to have that we arrange one on the side, not in the ordinary, not on Mondays, on the side, one course of that?
Sure,
one.
Yeah,
would you like to have? Here I can sense that there will be some different levels and needs for different needs. Personally, I have it all. So obviously I have to learn something. So I will contact Julia then.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's fine. We're in the process of hiring a new librarian because we had a librarian retire earlier this year, and we're thinking that the new librarian, which hopefully will be in place sometime around New Year's, will support me in teaching, so that will leave me with a little more room for you know, kind of spontaneous teaching too, and not having to plan it like 3 months ahead to have a gap on my calendar. So I think that will be make everything more easy and also support for EndNote. So good times coming. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'm thinking how to find information. How many of you have already used the databases? Yeah, kind of, yeah. All right, so just to kind of not start at the right at the bottom then. This is Aurea, so it's the library catalogue. I think I've probably said something about that before. Aurea is a discovery system. So it's not kind of a traditional library catalogue where you just find where the books are. This does that too. But you can find like books, electronic books, you can find journal articles, conference papers, sheet music, DVDs, whatever the library has bought access to. And we spend an enormous amount of money all year, every year, for access for you guys. I think last year it was not something close to like 90 million. So it's a lot. And I think about 95% of that is electronic documents. So it's like databases, journal articles, books, you know. Yeah.
But this is exactly the point. You have access to thousands of books.
Yeah.
Which is only that, it compensates quite a lot for the 90 million, obviously.
Yeah.
So we are so...